Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. And also put your finger on 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. If you're a planning on coming tonight, I suggest you get here early. Right? So we're gonna have it here in this room, and so it's just gonna be packed out, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go from verse 6. It says, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." And let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ." Amen. And so this is through Romans and through 1 Corinthians is generally the the two key passages when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And we can draw some very, very simple conclusions, as we read these things, and a few that that I want to highlight for us, to give us an idea. And, especially we've been talking about prophecy this week in particular, and first and foremost, it's the Holy Spirit that, by his own bidding and his own choosing, through his own devices, he's the one who gives the gifts to every believer, right? And so, 1 Corinthians, makes it clear that the Spirit of God, every believer, gets to have spiritual gifts. I mean, that's a very good thing, for us to recognize. And through this, a lot of the gifts that come, right, it's a means of grace. That's why even the word, when we use the word grace, the Greek word is charis, charis, which we get the word gifts as well. And so you could very easily say the grace, that we use, that the Bible talks about, like in verse 6 of chapter 12 of Romans. He says, "And we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us." It's charis, charis. It's actually the same word going back and forth. And so this gift that you get from the Lord, is grace from the Lord. Now we have a pretty good understanding of grace in that it's something that you get that you don't deserve, right? And so that's why it's really ridiculous for us to have any sense of pride when it comes to spiritual gifts. And we see this all the time, right? People get very prideful. "Oh, I'm this, or I'm that, or I have this gift, I have that gift." But it's ridiculous for us to think in those terms when this was given to us by the Holy Spirit as a means of grace. Now, in the same way, it would be like us being very prideful, that we are saved. No, we are saved through grace, not because we did anything. Most of us, we can achieve, or we can, become prideful when we feel like we've done something. But just like our salvation was given to us by grace. It says, "For yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And so really, the only thing we did is we sinned. But Jesus saved us from our sin. And in that same idea, right, we should also put our attention when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit as well. There's no reason to have any sense of pride whatsoever, because it is a grace that's given to us, each one of us, so that in a way, and let's go to the 1 Corinthians passage, in a way so that, that we can, you know, have a ministry. The word, you know, in verse 5, this is the varieties of ministries. This is a varieties of serving, right? It's the word diakonia, you know, which we get the word deacon from, which just basically means a servant. You know, and so every single one of us, there is a service, you know, that God has given to us. That's why, you know, at church, we always talk about, right, that as a member of SP, that you should be serving in some capacity. You know, it could be, you know, through the Sunday meeting, or you could be serving in your house church, you know, in a particular way. But every single, believer, right, should have an area of service to the Lord, you know, within the body and also outside the body, right? And so there are varieties. I mean, there's so many different ways of service, but it's the same Lord. And there are a variety of effects. This word energema, right, which is, you know, where the energy comes from. You know, the same God who works all things in all persons, and each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation is what we call a Spirit-produced display. You know, there should be some kind of manifestation of the Spirit of God working in our life. And then he goes and is given the word of wisdom and whatnot. Now, you recognize a few things. I mean, this is not to nitpick or anything, you know, but in verse 9, he says, to another faith by the same Spirit, and the gifts of healing, you know, and so there seems to be different kinds of gifts of healing, you know, and the way that I look at this, right, because, I mean, how many kinds of healing can there be, you know, and I actually withdraw the idea of not just physical healing, but emotional healing, spiritual healing, you know, relational healing, right, and so withdraw, you know, kind of the picture there. And if you look in the Romans passage, something particular about prophecy that I want you to always connect together, he says, according to your faith, right, when you prophesy. Now, there's something about prophecy, right, that there is a huge faith element that's attached to it, right? Because, you know, and most gifts operate out of faith, but it's this faith that you just have to trust God as you share that word with somebody. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how many of you guys have felt inspired by God in a way, like, you know, let's say you were praying for David, you know, on Sunday, and you were laying your hands on him, and you just feel like just the inspiration of God, you know, and you feel like God is speaking to you. It takes a lot of guts to convey that message, you know, to David, because what happens, a lot of ourselves get caught up with, or I should say, a lot of our insecurities start coming out. So let's say, well, if I'm wrong, I'm going to look like an idiot. You know, I'm going to look like very unspiritual. You know, or if I'm right, you know, I'm going to look like some, who do I think I am? Some holy roller or something? You know, I'm not Moses, you know? But we have that kind of, those. It's like dual. You can never win, right? You're wrong, you're jacked. You're right, you're jacked. You know, and it's this same kind of thing. And so it requires for us to really get out of ourselves and relay the word of faith. That's why at church we have something that we call a prophetic protocol, right? That if I'm praying for David, you know, I'm not gonna say, you know, David, thus saith the Lord, da da da, you know, because then you have no wriggle room whatsoever. Because in this case, now, when you say a kind of definitive comment like that, or couch it in that way, then if you're wrong, then God is wrong. Do you see the connection, right? And so you don't ever want to put God in that place. You know, one of the commandments, you know, it says you should not use the Lord's name in vain. It does talk about don't curse, right? And so, you know, a lot of us guys that play sports, you know, we know don't lose the Lord's name in vain, you know. You know, don't say, gee, damn it, and that kind of stuff. That's actually a very, very bad, I mean, the aspect, but lifting his name up to vanity basically is lifting his name up to nothingness. In other words, attributing something to God that is nothing, right? And so when you give a word like that and you say, you know, thus saith the Lord, you know, da da da, right? Then if you're wrong, you lifted up his name to vanity, to nothingness. And so the prophetic protocol is simply that when you share that word, that this is the key, okay? If you're right, God gets the glory. If you're wrong, you get the blame, okay? If you can couch prophecy in that kind of parameter, right, you know, that you say that if it's right, the Lord gets all the glory. If I'm wrong, right, then I get all the blame. And so thus, we don't lift up his name to vanity. And so, like, in the case, you know, use David again, you know, we'd say something like, you know what, I just feel like the Lord's saying this to me. I'm not sure, but da-da-da, you know. Or I sense this in my spirit, you know, da-da-da, you know, or whatever it may be. You know, and we don't have to be so religious, you know, in those terms. You know, that's like a lot of a really old school kind of approach. Right, and sometimes it happens when people are so insecure, you know, that basically it's they use certain phrases to validate, you know, their life or that God's spoken to them. We don't need to do that, you know. It's not our speech that validates us; it's God that validates us. You know what I mean? And so when we do share a word, and when you're because there's a faith element, right? When you're stepping out in faith. And you share that word, couch it in a very simple way. If it's right, God gets the glory, right? Because in that case, you know, let's say I share that word and, you know, and I couch it in a way. And then if it's accurate, well, God is glorified, you know. But if it's wrong, oh, yeah, you know, it's my spirit. I had a bad pizza last night, you know, or, you know, whatever the case may be, right? You know, and it kind of, and if you can couch it that way, that's a good way to operate within the ministry of the church. Right, you know. Now, with that said, there may be times. Okay, we always have this caveat: God is God. There may be times where that word is so strong. You know what I mean? I mean, and there are moments where you will have a "Thus saith the Lord" moment. You know, you don't have to couch it in those terms, right? But there will be times where it's just the word of God, and it's so strong. You know, and then you have some track record, you know, with the Lord in this, and you share, or maybe no track record at all, but you know, the impression, the inspiration is just so strong on you that when you utter that word, that there's something that happens. Now, remember, you know, there's you know, also something, I'll have to make a note of this, there's also something about us speaking that word out. You know, when we talk about this faith element, because it may not necessarily be, you know, in terms of, we may not have the whole picture understanding, but a lot of times when we start with faith, in other words, we speak and say something in faith, right? You know, God seems to fill in all the blanks as we're operating in faith, right? According to the proportion of your faith. You know, I have a few very prophetic friends, and every single one, they seem to relay this same idea, you know, and I'll pray with them and stuff, and, you know, and then they'll be like, man, that was like, how did you, you know what I mean? It was so good. I mean, just, you know, like that, it was just, everything was on the spot and everything. And I said, how did you, you know, go through this thing? And I don't know if you guys remember my friend Rob. Right, you know, Rob, he used to mentor me years back in the prophetic, and he'd always say this. He says, "You know what? I just don't know. I know that I get a picture or a word or something very, very small, and he says, and when I operate in faith and when I just release that word, it just kind of like everything else kind of flows from there. It's like a stream, you know, that just kind of starts. It starts with a trickle, and then it just turns into a stream." You know, and it's interesting, right? You know, Jesus says something about that, right? It says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? And if you ever read the message, right, you know, Eugene Peterson's translation, he says, you know, it takes more than bread to keep you alive. It takes a steady stream of words that flow from God's mouth. You know, and so that faith, you know, even though you may have like a little picture or it could be a little thing, and you start out with that and the faith comes or you operate in faith, and then you watch that little trickle just turn into a stream. And I've seen this in my life, you know. I've seen this with people that we train, you know, they just get a little picture, you know, or a little word or a simple thought, or sometimes it's just a simple feeling. You know, God speaks in many different ways. It's a simple feeling, and you just kind of operate in faith, and then it just kind of flows. You know, and that seems to be, you know, not always how the Spirit works, but it seems to be a very common way, you know, in how the Spirit will work in our lives. You know, and so going back, so sometimes He'll give you a thought, sometimes He'll give you a word, right? Sometimes it'll be an emotion. You know, there's also something, you know, what we call a word of knowledge, you know, and sometimes it's a sympathetic word of knowledge. In other words, you actually feel that word yourself, right? You know, there have been times where I've, you know, prayed for someone. Let's say, you know, Ben, let's say Ben's back was hurting. You know, and there'll be times that I'll pray and ask the Lord, give me a word or something. You know, and all of a sudden I just feel like just very slightly just this pain in my back. And then I say, okay, you know, you have pain in your back? And, oh, really? Okay, let's pray for you. You know, just something simple. That's what we call a kind of a sympathetic word of knowledge. You know, where you actually feel, and this is not like you already have a headache, and so you project, okay, everyone's got a headache, you know? That's not, I'm not talking about projection of your own sicknesses, right? That's not the same, but the sympathetic word of knowledge is you get a pain that you haven't experienced before, you know? And sometimes it's just very slight. You know, but when you start walking with God, you just learn to hear that voice. But primarily how we operate when we talk about prophecy and whatnot is usually that still small voice that's in our heart. You know, just very still voice, you know, that comes to us in that way. Do you remember when Elijah, after he you know, conquers the worshipers in Mount Carmel, and then he goes back, and remember, he basically gets into this temper tantrum, and he says, oh God, just kill me, you know, kind of stuff, and he gets caught in a cave, right? Now, this is pretty good news for all of us that are emotionally unstable, you know, many of us sitting in this room, okay? You know, that we're a little emotionally unstable, highs and lows. You're like Elijah. Think about this. Elijah is on Mount Carmel, right? Single-handedly calls fire down from heaven, conquers, and the next minute asking God to kill him, you know, to take him away, right? And so he's in this cave, and remember, you know, he's in this cave, and the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and he says, Elijah, what are you doing in this cave? He says, go outside. Basically, I'm going to come down. You know, and he comes down, and then there's thunder that comes. And so Elijah hears that he comes outside, and the word says he was not in the thunder, right? And then, you know, I think rain comes down. And I mean, all these different cataclysmic, you know, events of weather happen. And every time he comes out, those things, he says he was not in the rain. He was not in this. And at the end, he says there was a gentle blowing of the wind. And the word, you know, says that, and then God begins to speak. See, he's in that gentle blowing of the wind. You know, we all want the earthquake and, you know, the fire and all these things. But see, in relationship with the Lord, right, because the gentle wind requires for us to be more intimate. It requires us to be a little more quiet. It requires us to really pursue God. You know, I mean, earthquakes are great. I like earthquakes, you know. I mean, like, not real ones. I'm from California, so I know what an earthquake is, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, spiritual earthquakes or those divine moments. They're great, but there's nothing like that gentle whisper, right, that's learned through intimacy and prayer, right? And so most of us, that's what we get. It's these impressions, you know, and as you walk with the Lord, these impressions come. Let me give you a really quick tip. If you get an impression from the Lord, right, and you feel like, I don't know, is this, right, because it could be very easy, it could be you, it could be God, it could be the devil, right? You know, it could be, you know, I mean, it could be you, it could be just your own thoughts, and it could be the Lord, you know, or it could be, you know, the enemy. In any case, you don't want two-thirds. You want one-third. You want God, right? Your thoughts are okay, but you want his thoughts, right? Of course, we don't want the enemy's thoughts. And so the simplest thing to do is when you get an impression, that still small voice, whatever the case may be, just stop and say this simple prayer. It says, Lord, if this is not from you, take it away in Jesus' name. That's it. Right? It actually is quite simple, you know. And tomorrow we'll be talking a little bit more about hearing God's voice, right? So let's close our eyes today. We ask a very simple question for us. When we talk about the gifts, especially prophecy and these things, are we operating in faith? Has God spoken to you, but because you were afraid or because you were too insecure or maybe it was just bad timing or whatnot? And you didn't really share. Let the Lord speak to us. that we would just begin to move in faith. Right, we've all been given a grace. We've all been given a ministry. Been given an effect. Let's pray for faith. That we may be a blessing to others in our service. Hannah's going to lead us in a song. Let's just meditate on that as we worship the Lord.
Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way, bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all I want. Draw me close to you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to.
Ask God to teach us to be a prophetic church. Let's ask the Lord to teach us to hear His voice, right? That we be very clear about what He says, how He says it. Right? This all comes through intimacy with the Lord. You know, living life is pretty tough at times. You know, thus the incredible necessity to hear His voice in our lives, to lead us and to guide us. And let's pray. Pray for yourselves, pray for your church in this way. Let's spend this moment. Let's pray for your families right now. Pray for your parents, your aunts and uncles, your siblings, and especially if they are not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for the word of salvation to go forth. Let's pray for health for our folks, and let's ask God that He would provide the every need that they have in your families. Just cover our families right now. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick and going through different things. I just heard this morning that one of our sisters, you probably don't know her. She's one of the exchange students that's here from the States. Her mother passed away yesterday from cancer. And so her name's Titi. Let's just ask the Lord to just comfort her. I think she's on her way back to the States now. And just to really minister to their needs in a very difficult moment. Let's continue to pray for some other members of ours whose family members are sick, James's sister, and let's ask the Lord to really come through for them in healing, over things that are going on around them. Let's pray. Let's also pray for moms that are sick and kids as well. Let's pray for tonight's service and tomorrow. Let's pray. Chuck is going to land in probably about 2 hours. Let's just pray for just rest for him. His hotel room might not be ready. And so pray that they get the hotel ready so he can just go in and rest up for the rest of this day. Let's pray for real grace over this team as they minister to our community today. Let's pray for strength and just a real prophetic spirit to come on strong tonight. Let's just lift up all the logistics and whatnot, and pray that it wouldn't be chaotic tonight, and just so people would just come into joy, and just really expectant to see what God's going to do. Let's cover. Lastly, our mission focus. Let's pray for the churches here in Hong Kong. Let's ask God to really bless and, you know, the Chinese church-speaking churches, the international churches, other ethnic churches, and pray the Holy Spirit would just really unite us as one, and just the grace of God would really flow. There's actually a prayer meeting I'm going to in a little bit. All the international pastors getting together this morning. Let's just cover them and ask for God's grace over their ministries, over their lives, their families, and also their churches. So let's just ask the Lord to bless Hong Kong. Lord, we bless you, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we as your sheep get to hear your voice, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to be a people of faith, God, that we step out, Lord, in faith in what we feel, God, what we sense you speaking to us about, Lord. Give us boldness, God. Lord, watch over us, Lord. Be with our meetings tonight and tomorrow. Let there be such grace, God, that covers us, Lord, that people come hungry, expectant, Lord, and you would satisfy, Lord, that like only you can. We thank you, Lord. Just cover all these things in your name, in the Son's name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Let's keep praying for the rest of this day, and we'll see you guys tonight, right? It starts at 7:30 tonight.